Jet, Sting, and Swing.
Evening visit with Mrs. Franklin D. Roosevelt.
2 o'clock on Thursday afternoon in Manila.
And now we bring you Forbidden Diary, the true World War II story of Natalie Crowther, based on her secret journal written from a Japanese prison camp in the Philippines. Episode 3, Early Days. Previously on Forbidden Diary.
December 8, 1941. As the bombers passed almost opposite the house, we heard a long, ripping sound, like the tearing of a giant sheet, and saw an enormous burst of smoke and earth near the officers' quarters at Camp Hay. The first bombing of the Philippines before our eyes. After we picked up the kids, we went home and are staying here. Whenever the throb of an engine sounds overhead, we all run to the backyard ditch, knowing that it could very well be a Japanese bomber.
And now, Episode 3.
This is Bert Dylan speaking from Manila. It's now 2:45 in the morning of December the 9th. It has been a nerve-wracking and hectic day. And since dark, it has been a vigil of prayer and hope that enemy bombers would not come to disturb the peace and quiet of this moonlit city. Contrary to a report made by another commentator in Manila today, the warning signal at 12:40 this morning was the first and only signal sounded up to this time. We would also like at this time to deny another report sent from Manila to the effect that Japanese parachute troops had landed in the Philippines in an unknown area. The office of General Douglas MacArthur, commander-in-chief of the U.S. Armed Forces in the Philippines, not only emphatically denied the report, but stated that if such unfounded and unwarranted reports were continued by some commentators, a strict censorship would be slapped on all broadcasting emanating from the Philippines. In an order issued late tonight, Commonwealth President Manuel L. Quezon, in an effort to prevent the mad rush on the banks for withdrawal of cash money, stated that the limit of withdrawal by any depositor would be $100 during any 1 week. Vehicles of all kinds entering the approaches of all bridges are being stopped by soldiers in search of vagrant Japanese who have either evaded arrest or are known to be in hiding from the authorities. Today in Manila, the stars and stripes have been flung from every flagpole, on every building and every plaza, and on the masthead of every ship. It is in this spirit that Americans and Filipinos alike are putting their shoulders to the wheels of defense. A defense which we know in a short time will turn into an offense that will only end in the complete annihilation of the ruthless partner of an even more ruthless dictator. This is Bert Dylan saying hasta la vista and returning you now to the NBC.
December 9, 1941. Baguio, the Philippines. Since the first bomb dropped yesterday morning, we've done nothing but keep our ears glued to the radio and run to the ditch at the back of the house to stay as safe as possible until our air raid shelter is built. Yesterday's bombing sent hundreds of people downtown this morning to stock up on food and supplies. We didn't go, but our neighbors Tom and Ginny told us about it this evening when we went over to their house to listen to General MacArthur's announcement on the radio.
Nothing can help our military effort more than a continuation of calmness and restraint. Each individual should continue with fortitude his usual routine and be prepared to carry out what constitutes such directions as the authorities may order. These orders will be for the security and the well-being of the people. The military is on the alert, and every possible defense measure is being taken. My message is one of serenity and confidence.
Well, does everyone feel serene?
It does sound like things are a bit more organized.
Oh, come on now. There's no way the Japs will invade an American territory.
Well, they already bombed it, Tom. I understand, though. A few days ago, the Army flew 100 planes over Manila. You know, to show our military presence.
Oh, man, I would have loved to have seen that.
Yeah, me too. But, you know, as the Brits like to say, it's still, early days. We took a shellacking at Clark Field. Davao and Tarlac as well.
Have you two gone downtown yet?
Yes, we did, this morning.
When we were there after the first bombing, no one knew it had happened.
Well, they all know now.
What was it like?
So real. There were hundreds of people walking around, but everyone was real calm. The grocery store shelves were almost bare.
Well, now, there were some things. What did we all get, sugar?
Milk powder, flour, detergent, cereal, toilet paper, soap. We even got Campbell's soup and Jell-O. Did y'all know they boarded up the Japanese stores?
You know, a siren went off on the way home. We had to find a ditch real quick.
I was scared out of my mind.
We're all scared, Jenny. Boy, Nita sure is. She's terrified of the Japanese.
Well, can you blame her?
No. Not since all those Chinese women were raped by Japanese soldiers when they invaded Nanking.
Well, at least we don't have to worry about that. Evidently, we're an inferior race from fourth-class nations, and so beneath them that they don't want to soil their bodies.
Well, thank goodness for small favors.
Y'all won't have to worry about the Japanese around here.
How's that?
Filipino police put them in barracks at Camp Hay.
Women and children?
No, Natalie. Just the men.
But they're civilians. Why would they do that?
We're at war with Japan, Natalie.
I know that, Tom. But what harm is someone like Mr. Kitaguchi? He must be in his 80s, for heaven's sake.
Well, he's our enemy now.
So it's just like pressing a light switch, off and on? One day, they're our neighbors. And the next day, they're war criminals?
Natalie, darling, they're trying to kill us.
Not these Japanese. It's wrong, and I think we'll regret it.
Hey, I heard that President Quezon was in Baguio during the first bombings. Evidently, he was convalescing up here in his summer home.
Wait a minute. Doesn't that old boy have tuberculosis?
Yeah, I think so.
Y'all think the Filipinos will ever elect a new president?
Hardly. He's like a George Washington.
Well, what does it matter to us anyway? In 5 years, we'll all be heading home.
We're not going anywhere. This is our home.
Y'all know the Philippines will be an independent nation by then.
You mean the Tidings Act?
Yes, ma'am. Come July 4, 1946. The Filipinos will be running the show.
You mean running their own country?
Well, of course. A promise is a promise. But I sure don't want to leave.
Jenny here has been living in high cotton. Your Uncle Furp is right, darling. The Philippines is no place for American women. Y'all taking to bridge tables, cocktails, and nannies.
We could never live like this in the U.S. with cooks and chauffeurs.
Sure was a damn good place to ride out the Depression.
Yep, it kept my Boston wife living the life to which she was born.
Jerry, you know that stuff doesn't matter to me.
Let's face it, we are all living a charmed life here.
You mean we were.
Things will get back to normal real soon. Now how about another little drink?
Hello, NBC. This is Bert Simon speaking from Manila, and this time I've got a real scoop for you. Manila has just been bombed. In fact, right now it is being bombed. The all-clear signal has sounded, and then without warning, Japanese bombers started bombing Fort William McKinley, Nichols Airfield, and the RCA transmitting station. We then saw the real fireworks display of blood red anti-aircraft tracer bullets going after those Japanese bombers, and we don't know yet what has happened out there. We're trying to locate the exact place of the tremendous fire that is raging and turning the sky absolutely crimson. This is the first bombing of Manila, and I will say it is big. It is uncanny the way those Japanese have picked out military objectives, and bang, right on the nose, they hit it. And now, I'm going to turn you over to Don Bell, who is upstairs, out on the sidewalk, looking at this fire. Take it away, Don.
December 12, 1941. Perhaps General MacArthur should add this newsflash to his next announcement. The Crowder family had hot baths this evening. It was quite an event, seeing as how we haven't bathed since the first bomb dropped, or taken our street clothes off to sleep at night. I swear, the entire island of Luzon must be teetering up and down, with half of the Filipinos running up the mountains to safety, and the other down, while we Americans cling to our radios and wait to hear word of help from the mainland. Everyone wants to do something, anything but sit around and wait for who knows what. We're confident that the U.S. will come to the rescue, but each day of bombings and not much solid news of America fighting back makes us more anxious. So we keep busy. Our days are spent running to our new air raid shelter and doing day-to-day house chores. We're quickly learning gung-ho, or work together. The government closed the schools, so Beattie and June make beds, sweep, run errands, and get covered in mud. Both children have terrific appetites from working so hard at the dugout. We have 4 months of food, but after each bombing, I wonder if we should start rationing. Our most important task seems to be turning the radio dial, searching for news and announcements. We did hear some good news about an American victory while we ate dinner tonight.
But behind the Philippine front, meanwhile, the drive against fifth columnists continues. Two Japanese have been seized near Manila with homemade bombs and dozens of maps. At Army headquarters in Manila, the suggestion was made today that the American flag be taken down so that the stars and stripes would not serve as a guide to the enemy raiding planes. General MacArthur says, "Let's keep the flag flying." A summary of official reports on the fighting in the Philippines shows that at least 40 Japanese planes have been destroyed, that 4 Japanese transports have been sunk, together with 2 Japanese battleships. 5 more transports have also been damaged. On the British sector...
Sounds like we're holding our own.
Yes, thank goodness. That was a wonderful dinner, Nita. The corned beef hash was a real treat. Thank you.
You're welcome, Mrs. Crowther.
Nita, where were all the Filipinos going?
Which Filipinos, June?
The ones walking by our house today.
Home, June. They're going back into the mountains. The buses were too crowded, so they had to walk.
I saw those buses. There was so much baggage on top of them that they almost rolled over.
People want to be with their families, sweetie.
Beattie and I waved to them, and some of them waved back.
Nita, are you and Ismael going away?
No, Beattie. This is our home.
Daddy, what was in those big white bundles on their backs?
Probably food and blankets.
Ismael says the lowland barrios are like ghost towns.
I bet they are. They're coming up here and taking over for the miners who left for the lowlands.
Ismael hasn't contacted his family because he knows they went up into the mountains.
Nita, are the Filipinos going to fight the Japanese?
Of course, Beattie. We already are. General MacArthur is commander of the Philippine Army too. Those Japanese are in for a big shock if they think Filipinos are pushovers.
They sure are, if Ismael is any indicator. Your husband gave me an earful about the Japanese the other day.
He's right, Mr. Jerry. They are worse than the Nazis.
Nita, would you please grab that bag of candy in the kitchen for us?
Oh, I forgot about little ears.
Don't worry about it, Nita.
June, Beattie, tell you what, if you kids get ready for bed, you can have some candy while I read you a story.
Racy, June! Last one upstairs is a rotten egg!
You have to touch the top step or it doesn't count.
The War Department of Washington said today that enemy air operations continued over Luzon and the Philippines, and ground operations were in progress in the 3 sections of the island. Outlining the military situation, the communique said, "The Philippine theater, that enemy air operations over the island of Luzon continue. Operations on the ground are continuing in the north and northwest sections of Luzon and the vicinity of Legazpi in southeastern Luzon. The ground operations mentioned presumably were near Apari on the northern shore of Luzon, and it began some 200 miles north of Manila on the west coast where the Japanese have gained another foothold. U.S. bombers and Dutch submarines made the strategic South China Sea a zone of deadly peril for..."
December 14, 1941. There was a bad air raid on Manila yesterday, and today the radio mentioned attacks on our beautiful old hometown of Vigan. Apari, San Fernando, Zambales, and Legazpi were also bombed. Still, we remain optimistic as we hunt the airwaves for news about the US attacking Japan, not just defending the Philippines. Seven are now living in the garage quarters, including Nita's cousin and his pregnant wife. There have been so many sirens that running up and down our hill between our house and the shelter has become too much. So now we eat with the servants in the garage next to the shelter. Gone are the doilies and other formalities, and well, we like it. Everyone brings their own fork and plate for Filipino chow of rice mixed with meat and vegetables. For a sweet, I bought a large bag of candy after the first air raid. When peace comes, think that we'll prefer living more simply. We haven't received any mail, and papers are hard to get, so air raids are where we catch up on the news. Jerry's done a swell job building our air raid shelter. 20 people now use it. 12 Filipinos, 4 Americans, 2 British, and 2 French.
Nida, alam mo naman na tanggap namin ang pamilya mo na manatili rito. But your cousin's wife isn't planning to have her baby here, is she?
No. Inday's mother's a midwife. She wants to have the baby at her house.
How's that going to work? Doesn't she live in Manila?
No, Ismael. Remember, her mother lives in Baguio.
Well, it's been 15 minutes and there hasn't been a single plane overhead. Who's running the sirens around here?
Actually, Jerry, I've been wanting to talk with you about that.
How about when this is over, Reverend Eschbach? Got a pot of coffee going down at the house.
Sounds good, but please call me Carl.
Honestly, there must have been at least 10 air raids yesterday.
I counted 12. Has anyone been downtown?
We went this morning. There were only a few people.
Nothing but army trucks and gasoline wagons on the road. The windows on the Chinese stores are all boarded up.
And they're only open half day. It's all so disorganized. There was no bread or flour.
I heard that rice is going to be rationed.
The Japanese stores are completely boarded up. They interned Japanese men at Camp Hay. Does anyone know what's happened to the women and children?
Last I heard, they're all at the Japanese school.
Well, that's probably because they're scared to death that...
Has anyone gotten the Manila paper?
No.
Not for days.
No.
I've got a couple of old copies of the local paper. Gives a list of Filipinos killed in Pasay and American homes burned.
Could I take a look at it, Reverend Eschbach?
Oh, sure. You can have it, Ismael.
I'll pass it around after I'm done.
Hey, the siren stopped.
Finally, it was giving me a headache.
My fellow Americans, the sudden criminal attacks perpetrated by the Japanese in the Pacific provide the climax of a decade of international immorality. Powerful and resourceful gangsters have banded together to make war upon the whole human race. Their challenge has now been flung at the United States of America. The Japanese have treacherously violated the long-standing peace between us. Many American soldiers and sailors have been killed by enemy action. American ships have been sunk. American airplanes have been destroyed. The Congress and the people of the United States have accepted...
December 15, 1941. Since yesterday's air raid, Jerry's teamed up with Carl, a local pastor and civic leader, to improve the siren system. Because Baguio's in such a deep valley, it's almost impossible to see or hear airplanes until they're on top of us. So, Carl's organizing a spotting team, and Jerry's coordinating the installation of a direct phone line from a house near Mount Santo Tomas to the power plant in Baguio. When the spotters see the Japanese bombers, they'll call the plant to tell one of Jerry's volunteers to pull the siren. 10 students from the now-closed Chinese language school volunteered to identify and report incoming planes. And I have no worries that Jerry will find recruits to man the phone. I am concerned about those students on watch all night on Mount Santo Tomas. It's half a mile higher than the mountains ringing our valley. From that vantage point, you can see for miles in any direction. But it's so cold up there that the students gave me a fast yes when I asked if they could use warm socks and mufflers. Our shelter's become so popular these days that it's been named after a speakeasy. We don't serve drinks, but people drop by, siren or not, to give and take news. This afternoon, I'd just finished asking Betty Lander about her knitting circle when two of Jerry's buddies showed up while he was installing a much-needed overhead light.
Oh, no trouble at all, Natalie. But if you don't mind, balaclavas would suit better than mufflers, wouldn't they?
You're the expert, Betty. I've got some wool to get you started.
Lovely. You know, I think that knitting for those boys would be a good tonic for the ladies in my knitting circle.
Well, they say industry is the enemy of melancholy. Or is it insanity?
Better to be a nutter, dear, than sad and boring, isn't it?
What a choice. Come on over to the house, Betty. I'll show you what I've got.
Yeah, I heard that, Joe. Will you hand me the Phillips head next to you, Larry? Thanks.
Who?
Japanese civilians in town. The Filipino police rounded them up.
How long are they going to keep them?
For as long as we're at war with Japan, I guess.
Should have happened ages ago.
The Japs have been spying on us all along.
Come on, Larry. Not every Japanese is a spy.
Well, not everyone, but we should have been on the lookout.
Larry's right. Remember those Japs living in huts near Camp Murphy? Police found enough dynamite in them to blow up Manila.
Oh yeah, I remember. They said it was for fishing.
But officer, there was a sale in fish and tackle at Woolworth's, so I thought I'd pick up a few extra truckloads.
You know, just to see me through the tuna season. Got 3 months in prison and a small fine. Come on.
Uh-huh. And then there's all those Japanese bars near every American and Philippine military base.
Are we chumps or what?
A couple of days ago, they arrested a bunch of them with bombs and homemade maps.
And how about those secret radio stations near Camp Nichols and Cavite?
What stations?
He can't tell you, Joe. It's a secret.
Yeah? Well, here's an open secret for you. The Balintawak Brewery's been hiding an arsenal for the Japs.
That story's been floating around Manila for years.
And that would be because it's true.
Did you know the brewery's tower's being used as a guide for enemy bombers?
Haven't heard that. Hey, Joe, your brother-in-law's a cop in Manila. Are they interning Japanese civilians there, too?
Yep. And he said all of them had their suitcases packed, ready to go, with first aid kits and Japanese flags.
God, what a mess.
Well, it's better than what the Igorots are doing. They're bringing in Japanese trussed up in nets.
My brother-in-law said that on Davao, the Filipino cops killed 5 Japanese civilians after one of the bombings. Just shot them point blank. There's been rumors of an uprising. A lot of Japanese live there.
Guys, I gotta get this light up and finish the exit and ventilation.
Need some help? We got all the time in the world.
They laid us off at the mines.
Oh, man. I'm really sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it was a few days ago.
My wife packed me a lunch this morning and told me to come back at 5.
2x4s are over there.
What do you want me to do?
Your wife kick you out of the house too, Joe?
Nope. I'm an escapee. Ginger's got her Red Cross friends over.
Couldn't take it, huh?
I ran like a scared rabbit.
Hey, Jer, did you know you got the best bomb shelter in town?
Have you been to the Smith shelter? Nothing but packing cases and sandbags.
Yeah, Jer. What you got here is the Savoy of Baguio.
Enemy operations over the island of Luzon in the Philippines continue. Operations on the ground are continuing in Manila and northwest sections of Luzon and in the vicinity of Legazpi in southeastern Luzon. There is nothing of importance in other areas as of 9:30 a.m. today.
So says the United States Navy communique number 10, just in.
December 16, 1941. We continue to live in limbo, thinking that help is on the way one minute and preparing for an invasion the next. Our valuables are either packed up or buried. We ended up putting my jewelry in the safety deposit box on the advice of our bank's president, who urged people to put their valuables in the bank for safekeeping. I filled the bathtub days ago in case utilities are interrupted. There's not much more we can do, except wait and keep our ears to the ground. Strange to say, but the days seem to rush by us. I go to the Red Cross room daily. We're still sewing hospital gowns and making Christmas bags for soldiers. To his great relief, Jerry finished our shelter's emergency exit. I'm not sure whether his buddies were a help or a hindrance in that operation. Ismail and the miners have grown so accustomed to the sirens that they now stand outside and watch the planes sail by. Nita says she's going to kill Ismail if he doesn't stop it. It's astonishing how quickly one adjusts to circumstances. I don't mind being downtown in a raid half as much as I did. On the ride home from town yesterday, Jerry steered into a culvert as if it were a parking garage. Mercifully, there haven't been many alarms for a few days. We're still making plans for Christmas, as best we can. The cold store has our turkey on ice, and come Christmas, we'll share it with guests, even if it turns out to be our last big splurge. And in between, when there's time to think, I sometimes wonder about the Japanese mothers who will never know what happened to their sons in the Philippines attacks. I'm not being soft. It's just that women's roles are the same everywhere. Oh, I almost forgot to mention that our telephones become as popular as our shelter. It rings all day. And we try our best to call people who are living alone.
Hello,
Mrs. Salibi. It's Natalie Crowder. I'm just calling to see how you're doing.
Oh, fair to middling.
Is there anything I can get for you?
Could you get me some yams, dear? You see, I'm afraid to go to the market with all of those ziggurat men walking around with bolo knives on their hips. One looked like he was ready to carve someone up. And the lowlanders give me the heebie-jeebies, too, strutting around with their crossbows and arrows.
Of course. How many do you need?
Enough for an 8-inch pie. Oh, and some canned peas if they have any. Maybe your husband should go with you.
Hello?
Hi, Jerry.
Oh, hi, Dr. Abiera.
Word has it that you have the Manila paper.
It's about 4 days old, but I got it right here.
If I come over after work, will you save it for me?
You realize I'll have to hide it.
Newspapers are more valuable than the gold in the mines.
Hey, I hear your patients ran up the mountains and deserted you.
Well, they're back home now, and I haven't had a quiet moment since.
That's human nature for you.
Somewhere.
I think we're all going a little nuts, sitting around waiting for God knows what. You wouldn't believe how many crazy rumors are out there.
Oh, yes, I would. Come over to my practice sometime.
I asked Natalie if she wanted to go up to the Baguio Mountain Trail to a less exposed place, and boy, did she give me a quick and emphatic no.
I've always said that you have a very smart wife, have I not? If the roads are blown up, you'd be cut off from food. That's what my patients realized. Better to stay where you are. It's all in God's hands anyway.
America is an army with every man and woman and child a soldier in it, all joined to the one end of victory. We cannot know how long this war will last, how wide it will range, what it will cost us in toil and sacrifice and in treasure. We do know, whatever the cost, we will pay it, and that our reward will be to hand down to our children the free America which our fathers bequeathed to Americans.
December 18, 1941. One of Carl's students came by this morning to pick up a box of socks and balaclavas that Betty Lander delivered yesterday. With great pride, I might add, for having knitted them so quickly. During evening blackout, we sometimes talk about how the bombings have brought out the best and worst in people, and how interesting it is to discover an acquaintance's true character. These last 10 days, I've come to believe that the heroes in all of this are the ones who keep plugging away at daily tasks, no matter how much of an hourly grind they might be. And then, of course, there's Blondie Barker, a young American engineer who works, or I should say worked, at the mine. I was just finishing my coffee after lunch today, trying to get some kind of news besides the usual everything is under control, when I heard a car stop outside and someone running down our stone steps. I answered the doorbell to find Blondie, smiling, and then turned very serious as he took my hands. As I remember, the conversation was short, but our looks long and deep. Blondie, what are you doing here?
I've come to say goodbye, Natalie.
Goodbye? But where are you going?
To Corregidor. I'm going to fight for my country.
But what about the mine? Don't they need people to run it?
So the Japanese can take it over. All that official news on the radio, they're just stalling.
Well, you're not the only one who's starting to think that.
I can't sit around here and watch the Japs take us over.
Oh, Blondie, I don't know what to say.
I have to do this, Natalie. I have to do something. Anything. Would you please see that this letter gets back to my family in the States?
Oh, of course. As soon as the postal service starts up again.
Blondie! Hey, what brings you here?
Blondie's come to say goodbye, Jerry.
I'm heading off to Corregidor.
Gonna join the fight?
Yes, sir. The army wants me in charge of their mine tunnel workers.
Twice the work for half the pay.
That's about the size of it.
Well, I'm proud of you, Blondie. Truly. I saw your friend out in the car. Why don't you invite him in?
Thanks, but we have to get on the road.
Oh, Blondie, we hate to see you go. Please take care of yourself.
I'll be back before you know it. Well then, goodbye, Natalie.
Bye.
Jerry.
Good luck, son. God, they look young.
And so serious. Oh, his poor mother will be worried sick when she finds out. Jerry and I stood on our front porch waving as Blondie and his friend drove slowly down Outlook Drive, leaning out the windows, waving. We marveled at how each day brings another change. It was just 4 days ago that Blondie sat on top of our shelter having a beer with us. As they drove out of sight, I called out, "We'll be seeing you!"
This concludes Episode 3. Be sure to tune in for the next episode of Forbidden Diary, the true World War II story of Natalie Crowder, based on her secret journal written from a Japanese prison camp in the Philippines.